Today on Real Radio.
Here, Paul the Apostle, in a brilliant stroke of not only biblical truth, but coupled with divine sarcasm, levies this challenge to the Church of California or Corinth. He lays it down.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're in a study taken from the last paragraph of chapter 6, where the apostle explains that believers are never to take advantage of the mercy and the freedom granted to them. In fact, at the end of the chapter, he reminds us to glorify God in our bodies because we were bought with a price. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called To Tell the Truth.
To Tell the Truth. If you were around from about 1959, I was 1 year old, from about 1959 to actually the early 70s, there was a program called To Tell the Truth. Does anybody remember? Raise your hand. Please encourage me. Yes! To Tell the Truth. And if you remember, there would be a panel of Hollywood elites, and they would have questions about a certain person, a real person. And so there would be people who would come out and they would say, hello, my name is, I'll just make it up. Hello, my name is Joe Johnson. And that person would step back. And then the next person would say, my name is Joe Johnson. And then the next person would step up and say, my name is Joe Johnson. And then they would sit down and the audience, or I shouldn't say the audience, the Hollywood questioners would say, Joe Johnson, where were you born? And they would ask them questions about who this Joe Johnson, because he's a famous person, which one was the real guy? Because back in those days, there weren't much TV going on, so it could have been Bill Gates back in those days, and nobody would have known what Bill Gates looked like. So who is this person? We've heard about Joe Johnson. His face, we need to figure out which one out of the three is the real deal. And so they asked the questions. And the real guy was to lie so convincingly that he would fool the panel. And the other people who are not Joe Johnson, they were supposed to lie so convincingly that the panel thought that that person was Joe Johnson. So it's all a big lie going on. And so all this was happening, and the program was called To Tell the Truth, which was funny because they don't. And at the end, if you've all seen it, by the way, you young people, Google it. It's really cool to watch. Even still, it's 1,000 years old, but it's really fun to watch. Then at the end, when all the questioning's over, the host would say, will the real Joe Johnson please stand up? And each guy would go, remember? They'd go like, and then they'd pause. And then Joe Johnson would stand up. The crowd would go crazy. And he would get like points if he deceived the panel and all this kind of stuff. And it was really cute. The problem is that regarding the church at Corinth, you would have to ask, or you would have to have an audience or an arena to tell the truth. And you could not easily distinguish who the real believer was. Are you a Christian? Or are you not a Christian? Do you know Jesus or do you not know Jesus? There was a big game going on. It was horrible. You couldn't tell who was the real deal. And so if somebody would have said, will the real Christian please stand up? They would go like this. But in Corinth, the overwhelming evidence was nobody stood up. But they would name the name of Jesus. They would say, yeah, we're Christians. But they lived a life very differently. And so as we look at this, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we now begin where we left off, verse 12. Paul says to the church at Corinth, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the bondage or under the power of any. Foods for the stomach and stomach for foods, but God will destroy or terminate. It doesn't mean he's going to be mad about it. It just means in the end, that's not going to matter. God will terminate, destroy, put an end to both it and them. Now the body, your body, my body, is not for sexual immorality, that is sex outside the confines of marriage, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Verse 15, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot or an immoral woman? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? Because sex has spiritual connotations to it. For, he says, the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Verse 18, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against or inside his own body. Something happens internally regarding sexual sin. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? It's one of the greatest verses in the Bible, verse 20. For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. This is awesome. Here, Paul the Apostle, in a brilliant stroke of not only biblical truth, but coupled with divine sarcasm, levies this challenge to the Church of California or Corinth. He lays it down and he says to them regarding their faith in Christ and their actions in the world that those two things should be completely in harmony, completely together. Why is this important? Because listen, the Greeks and the Corinthian Christians in Greece were infiltrated by the religions of the Greek Empire. And the religions of the Greek Empire, we would call today philosophies. They were philosophies. And listen to this. By the way, isn't this convenient? The gods of the Greeks, you could pick one that suited you. It's very convenient. Because if you wanted to live a certain lifestyle, if you could find a God that would back up your certain lifestyle. When I say God and I make this kind of motion, I'm holding like a little doll or an idol. That's because they would acquiesce or be a disciple of that God. I'm going to be the follower of Athena, or I'm going to be a follower of Aphrodite or Zeus or Mercury. You pick the God, Titan. You pick the God, that's the God you want to worship because that's what your fleshly appetite is about. Now watch how convenient this is. You pick this God, Aphrodite, a very lewd and sensuous God. And you go through all of the worship. You would go to the temple of Aphrodite. You would go through the worship practices of worshiping Aphrodite. Why would you pick that God? Because that's the God that satisfies your personal fleshly desire. And it's all justified in your spiritual philosophy. Have you noticed that the gods that we create are very, very tolerant of our vices? Are you angry? There's a religion for that. Do you want peace? There's a religion for that. Think about it. Paul is saying to the Corinthian believers, your worldly philosophy has crept in and has reshaped and remolded what biblical Christianity is. And are we not suffering from the same ailment in America today or in America's churches or maybe in our own lives that we begin to view the Bible through our worldview of where we've come out of or what's around us? And we begin to say things like this, yes, I know Jesus, just like the Greeks that were Corinthian believers, but I live this kind of a lifestyle because it's acceptable in my community. It's tolerated in my world where I live in. This is an absolute truth. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, wherever the true gospel goes, it should infiltrate that entire culture. There's a cry out there in the world. Listen carefully. If you haven't heard it, you're going to hear it big time more. There is a cry out there by even religious people saying, you Christians, you guys who believe in the Bible, just keep quiet. You can do anything you want inside the confines of your sanctuary, of your churches, but don't you write any articles, don't you make any public statements, and don't you go door to door and invite people to know Jesus, and don't you share your faith, because frankly, we don't want to hear it. Why? Because we already have our gods that sanction everything that we want to do. And we don't want to hear you say that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. This is happening in the world today. This is big in America right now. It is a departure from the true gospel. It's Corinthian. And so the Corinthian Christians were very much like the age that we're in the name of religion, but they had departed from Christ. Let me remind you of who they are, because Paul does the same. Take it down in your notes, though you should have this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he told them in verse 2, to the church of God, which is at Corinth. And that was a messed up church, man. Listen to what he says. To those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who are in every place, call on the name of the Lord Jesus, both theirs and ours. Verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. I tell you what, if you memorize those verses, you'll be a happy camper for the rest of your life. But look at 1 Corinthians 6:11. Remember last time together, he gave this litany of those who the Corinthians were once without Jesus. And I don't need to go through that list. It's huge. You can read it later. 1 Corinthians 6, but look at verse 11. He says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So we say amen to that? Who we once were, we are no longer. Hallelujah. And that is a great thing. Point number one this morning, to tell the truth. Here we go. To tell the truth, what's your favorite thing to do? Don't shout it out. Just put it in your heart and mind and meditate on it as I speak to you this morning. What is your favorite thing to do? Paul is asking the Corinthian believers. With a little bit of divine sarcasm, he applies a biblical question. Corinthians, Californians, Chino Hillians, or wherever you're from, what is your favorite thing to do? That's the question that goes out. And here it is. We want to look at ourselves this way. What is our favorite thing to do as individuals? Number one, I look at this starting at verse 12. My actions. My actions say that I'm a free man. So what do you like to do? If you are a Christian, your actions will speak and your actions will indicate to all who know you that you are a free man. He says, all things are lawful for me. And I'm going to need you to get your highlighter out. Get your pen ready, Bible students. If you've never marked up your Bible, today's the day to start marking it. And when it's all marked up, put a rubber band around it, put it on the shelf, and buy a new Bible. Start again. All things are lawful for me. This is an awesome statement. Paul is saying, as a Christian, I have been freed from the powers of sin and death. I have no handles, grips, or bars protruding from my life of this world anymore. You guys, I hate to put this picture into your mind, but it's in my mind, so I thought I'd pollute your mind with it as well. Have you ever seen those Olympic speed skaters that have thighs about as big as a cow? There's, you know those guys? Whoosh, 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 right? Have you seen those clothes they wear? It's so embarrassing. I think they stand there and they just spray them in plastic. And what's the whole purpose? They got that helmet on, looks like a bug. And that guy's going so fast and he's skating on that ice. Are those Olympic speed bicyclist dudes? It's all about being sleek and fast and removing any chance of resistance to the cause. Are you with me? Paul is saying, for the believer, all the stuff's been washed away. We've now been slipped into a new body, a spiritual body, a body that is destined for victory, for glory, guaranteed by Jesus. We're real Christians now. We've got a whole new suit on. This is not the clothes we run in. And we are in a race to the end, and we are going, and everything has been slipped away. Another grotesque picture, but very accurate. Do you know how the Olympic wrestlers 2,000 years ago used to wrestle? With oil on their bodies and a jock strap. That's it. You mean they were naked? Yep. Why? They didn't want their opponent to have anything to grab onto to be able to gain the victory over them. So they greased themselves up and they wore a gourd. It's called a gourd. We would call it a, a jock thing. And they would go out there and they would fight to win a wreath. And that's the very word when Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And we would go, wow, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Immediately the Greeks would understand what he's talking about. He says, but we wrestle against demonic spirits. Well, you can't put on enough grease to wrestle with a demonic spirit. And you can't, wearing a gold-plated jockstrap's not even going to help you with a demonic spirit. It could be made out of kryptonite. It's not going to help. It's spiritual. Are you clothed? And are you a free man in Jesus? Listen, this is for you to talk to God about. I'm only the messenger. Are you free? Is your favorite thing your liberty in Jesus Christ? Paul said to him, I am free. He says, all things are lawful for me. Technically, the word means I can do anything I want to do because I'm a Christian now. Listen to what I'm saying. Look at what he does. He quotes a proverb of the day. But all things are not helpful. But all things are not helpful. I'm completely free to do anything I want. My salvation will not be taken away from me. That being the case, do I go do whatever I want to? Or do I do what God wants me to do? Listen to me right now. If you call yourself a Christian and you live for what you want to do, you are not free, and there's serious doubts if you're a Christian. Paul says, I'm a Christian. I'm free to live any kind of life I choose, but I choose to follow Christ. And I've concluded, church, circle this. Our culture needs this like never before. All things are not helpful. Honestly, can a Christian drink and get drunk and go to hell for that? No. But is it wise for him to do? It's not wise. Is it a good witness? Nope. Is it Christ honoring? Nope. Could you get in trouble? Yep. I can do anything I want. You sure can, can't you? And not everybody can receive this message today. Some of you maybe, I hope not in this church, maybe some other church, but not this church. You might be thinking, I can become a Christian and do anything I want? Cool. That's not a Christian. You've deceived yourself. You're tricking yourself. A real Christian says, wow, you mean I've got such liberty in Jesus, but now how I live is to his glory? The real Christian says, that is awesome. You mean I can live my life pleasing God just by how I live? Because listen, by how I live, it's not the status I earn by how I live. It's because of the status he's given me, I get to live. I get to be free from the grip of the world. Remember, we've all got that crazy looking plastic suit on. We're free. There's no handles on us. There's nothing to grab. Does the world have something to grab and say, look, this is where we have a stronghold? That's why the things that beset us, the things that really are dangerous, somebody might say, well, this is my secret little favorite thing. This is my little indulgence. Are you really free? He says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Paul answers a tragically common question of not only this era, but of his own. Since I'm a Christian, somebody might say, why can't I just smoke pot, get drunk, eat all the time, become a glutton, do whatever I want to do, and live the life I want to live my way? Can't I be a Christian? People ask this, well, can't I just do what I want and be a Christian? I had somebody recently tell me, listen, I'm not sleeping with my boyfriend, I'm sleeping with anybody I want to sleep with. This was a teenager. And I said, listen, you need Jesus. You need Christ. And that young lady was offended. What? Are you implying I'm not a Christian? I said, the words are yours. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, wake up now. You can't live a life that is for your own indulgences and then say that when it's all over in the end, I'm going to go to heaven. What a great world. Live like I don't know God, but at the right time, pull out the God or Jesus trump card, and I'm home free. That's called antinomianism, and it will destroy your life. It means I can sin. Listen, I can sin and quickly run and go have it confessed and then go right back and do it again, then run back and quickly confess and then go live it again, confessing with the intent to do the sin again is death. You're not free. The Bible says in Proverbs 23, am I yelling? I'm so excited about this. In Proverbs 23, 21, the Bible says the drunk and the overeater will come to poverty, and a drowsy man will clothe himself in rags. Isn't that funny? What a great proverb. Put that over your teenage son's bedroom. Get dressed. Put your clothes on. Why? I love that. The drowsy man, he's going to wear rags. He's too tired to put his nice clothes on. He's pooped out. The drunk, the overeater, they indulge themselves and they don't progress their life. They don't advance their life. They're given over to fleshly appetites. Church family, listen. And look, I know I'm going to sound incredibly hypocritical. You all know I'm guilty as charged. I love Wahoo's fish tacos. Okay, if you can't find me anywhere in the world, you'll find me over there. Love it. Okay. But I've got a system down. It's such a high-protein meal. This is how I justify my sin, I guess, right? Are you with me? It's such a high-protein meal, I can actually eat that once a day. And I hardly eat anything for the remainder of the day. You say, well, that's great for you. So that's my little thing. But if I'm living to eat, gosh, that was a great breakfast. Okay, you guys, where are we going to go to lunch? Okay? No, that's not a good place. That other place has bigger portions. And then, you know what? We'll go from there and then later, you know, go back to work and then a little later, about 6:30, I'll meet you at that place for dinner. You are living to eat. We should be disciplined to eat to live. Think about it. You'd be surprised how little you have to eat to live.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a study that looks at the last paragraph of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it's where Paul reminds us to glorify God in our bodies because we were bought with a price. The title of this study, To Tell the Truth. Now, To Tell the Truth is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through this New Testament letter written by Paul. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, remember that with just one point and click, you can visit realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. It's a great way to stay in touch with all things Real Radio. You can listen to past editions of the program. You could email your questions to Ask Pastor Jack. That's our Friday feature around here. You can learn about our Real Radio Book of the Month and a whole lot more. But you could also subscribe to Words to the Wise. Now, that's Pastor Jack's devotional, which you could subscribe to and receive it in your email box. You know, more and more Real Radio listeners are subscribing to Words to the Wise and calling and writing and letting Pastor Jack know just how much they appreciate them. And you can do that, too. Just visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And then click on the button on the right that simply says devotional. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.